say, Brother Sam had told me, asked me to come up and have prayer and share any few thoughts I might have, and then he just changed it all around. So I guess that's the advantage of being the older preacher. And all right, well, beg an interest in your prayers. I will say that my mind has been on the same spot all week, and Lord willing, Lord will be with us today. Tonight we'll look at this again. 1 Peter 1. There's, starting in verse 2, when you stop and think about what we believe as a people, as Primitive Baptists, we believe the truth, what the Bible teaches. And so when we talk about it out there in the world, and I'm not talking about all different religions, I'm talking about when you take it in as Christianity, if you stop and you start to talk about the things that the Bible teaches, you say things like predestination, election, once saved, always saved, people will be, they'll be like, wait a second, I mean, I don't know about that. You know, they might start shaking their heads, not sure, and thinking, where are you getting that? You know, how many times have you ever heard, if you take Romans and Ephesians out of the Bible, Primitive Baptists can't preach. They don't have anything to preach. Well, let me tell you, the Lord is the best writer that there is. And this is all inspired by the Word of God, or by the Holy Spirit. It is His words. It was pinned down by man, but it is that perfect. That's why from the very beginning to the very end, it does not contradict, it does not make a mistake, and everything points to the same thing. Everything points to the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's going to show it there, and it's going to be the same paths, the same ways. So when you're reading things, you say, oh, I see that. That's exactly what we believe, and it's in a different spot. Now, I don't think you need to go anywhere else. If the Bible says it one time, and it's as clear as black and white, then that's all you need to do. Go over to that spot, say, here's what it says. There's what it is. But people want to see more. You want to show, you want to see something else. You go and you read something, 1 Peter 1 and 2. It says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. This one verse right here, it has a picture of God choosing a people, electing them out of him because he wanted to. Nothing else. And it was going to be set apart. They were going to be set apart by the Holy Spirit. Nothing have they done. It's all God, none of him. And there's a saying there that is going to be at the end. And you know, it says the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. That he paid for it. There's nothing else that needs to be done to pay that debt, but was his shed blood. So anything that you want to be thrown on top of that, anything that the world out there says that you have to do to help out in your eternal salvation, you know, I was talking to someone the other day and I said, that's kind of just like you trying to, the man has paid the whole, you went out to dinner with him, he paid the whole bill, he left a tip, and he said, here, I just want to feel good, so I'll just put a little tip on the table too, so I feel like I contributed something. That's what you doing something has to do, amount to. The Lord didn't need it. He paid it all. He took care of it. He redeemed it. He's got the price covered. There's nothing left on the table that needs paid. And he says, look what he says. He says, and your peace be multiplied. If you have a belief out there in the world that they teach you that your eternal salvation is not secure, that can come in and out and go up and down, you can go to bed not knowing, did I do good enough? You can wake up in the morning not sure how I'm going to do today. I'll tell you right now, we all are going to fail. I mean, you can beat around the bush. You can start to say anything you want, but you can be as straightforward as we all. No one in here is going to make it. If it's on our own, we fail. We don't have it. We are going before your feet hit the floor. I'm sure I did something. I thought something. I complained about something. I murmured. I did something that I assure you I failed right then that the Lord had already had to pay for. So when you think about it, he says, your peace be multiplied. If it's anything else out there in the world, if it's not the way that the Lord laid it out, that it's he chose someone and there's nothing that can do to separate you from that love, you can't say multiplied. You have to say any other man-made religion that they put their spin on it, it would have to be division, subtraction. Some days it maybe is multiplied. Some days it's subtracted. Some days it's divided. However it might be. But I assure you one thing, that the way that the man has set it up, it is up and down, and that is not always multiplied. Ours is multiplied. No matter how dark the dark times are, no matter how hard it is multiplied, because when you get through it, you look back and you say, man, the Lord was that great. The Lord was amazing to me then. He delivered me then. It's multiplied. When you are on your darkest hour of how you've been or acted or did whatever you've done, you can stop and look and see that the Lord was with you. Say, you know how much worse I could have been if the Lord wouldn't have been on my side? Our peace be multiplied. And he comes down and he starts to explain these things. That one verse could get you into some serious conversations with the world out there saying, I don't believe that. I don't believe what that says. I'm not sure. When you talk about election and predestination, you talk about that, people will look at you and think, that sounds funny. That doesn't sound normal. The Bible says it is. He says, go over there. And I love it because they say, well, it's because maybe the Lord knew what we were going to do. Maybe he knew what our actions were going to be. Romans 9:11, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. And it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as is written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. It doesn't get any clearer than that. There's a group that he loves, and there's a group that he hated. That's how simple it is, he said. And it was before they've done anything. They hadn't done any good or evil. They weren't even around. His was before the foundation of the world, when God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are there and they're working it out. And he said, look, these people I choose. But the problem is, they can't make it on their own. You are going to have to do something. He says, I've got it. You know, I always picture that conversation up there. I always break it down and probably make it way simpler and more laid back than what it is. But it's like three of them just hanging out going, okay, what are we going to do about this? You want these and you know how they are. They haven't done anything. You want them. What do you want us to do to get them here? How do you want us to do it? Well, you're going to have to go pay for it. You're going to have to go down there and you're going to have to pay. That's the only thing I'm going to accept is I'm going to accept what you do, your work. That's it. He says, okay, I'll do it. And the other one's there. Well, you agreed to it. And that's what he wants. Now I've witnessed it. That's how clear and simple it is. That's what the Bible teaches us. And you say, well, that's not very, people will look at it. And as soon as you say election, your mind goes to and starts to think. When I first heard election 20 some odd years ago, I thought, man, that just can't be. I mean, is that just, how small is that? That's my mind went to, how small of a number there is. And you think about it. God is going to be the greater of everything that there is. So at the end of the time, there's no one here, and it's only ones in heaven and only ones in hell, no matter what it is. You know, I sit there and I look at it now and say, well, I sat there and I thought, well, God would be greater. He would at least be 51%, right? He'd be at least 51% of all that had ever lived would be his, because he is not going to be the lesser in any situation. God is going to be greater. But now, that's not what God said. He didn't say, I just want to be 51%. I want to be so great that you can't even number the number. I want to be so great that when you look out at the stars and you're overwhelmed because of how many stars that there are, that it's more than that. When you walk on that miserable beach, when you're walking through the sand and it's all over, I'm more than all of that. I'm more than all of that. That my people are more than all of them. That's how great our God is. He's not just 51%. I don't know how big it is, but when my mind used to hear election, I used to think of a small number. It's not a small number, it's a great number. It's a great number that we should be thanking God for. We should thank God that we know it's a great number. Because when you look out there, you say, when someone says, well, what about them? What do you think about them? And you see fruits of the Spirit, you say, yes. And what's amazing is you don't have to see fruits of the Spirit. We say, I don't know. But if the Lord chose him, then it's his. Amen. That's how great it is. We don't have to know. It's not our job to know. We weren't in the conversation before the foundation of the world. It wasn't our job to put down that the Lord said, you need to go out there and make sure you can get as many as you can for me, because I had said I'm going to have a number greater than any man that can number. Well, you know what's funny is these people that, I don't know how else they say it, but they save souls and they do things, they keep tally marks. They keep notes. How many? How many were saved last weekend? How many were converted? How many did we do this to? How many did we do that to? Well, they could always put up there, you didn't do any. It's zero. I understand. I believe it comes out of a spot where they truly, it comes from love. I truly believe that. But the thing is, you never want to take away from the Lord. And if the light starts to shine outside of pointing to the Lord, then what we have to do is we have to stop and reevaluate. If at any time what we believe and what we do here starts to take the light away from shining on the Lord and it starts to focus on us, then we need to reevaluate. We need to stop and say, wait a second, something's not right. Because we don't get the glory. The Lord gets all the glory. So whenever you start to put there and say, look what we did, then you stop. You know, I was telling Alec, the other morning, or I think it was this morning, and he was asking me something, and we were talking about it, and I told him, I said, listen, if at any time you have to go through some really deep thing to explain what you're trying to preach, stop. Stop. The Lord, his sermons, Jesus Christ came and he preached in sermons that are so short, that are so simple and so easy. He gave us the example. You know, I love deep preaching where I'm sitting there scratching my head, not sure what's going on, how hard it is, how I'm not sure I can even keep up. And I'm having to take notes so I can go home and read it. I love it. It makes my mind just go. But the problem is I need to make sure that no matter what happens, that the glory is all going to the Lord. That all that we do, it points to him. So if we go to something and we can't explain it in really simple, then stop and say, let me pray on it, because there's an answer in the Word of God that is simple. That's how he broke it down for us. He made it so we can understand. You know what he said? He didn't say, Jacob I've loved and Esau I've loved less. And maybe not in the same way. He didn't put all these extra things on there. He said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. It's as clear as black and white, night and day. He says, here it is. It's laid out for you. No one wants to accept it because it doesn't feel good, right? It doesn't feel good to the natural man. But when your eyes are open and when the Lord has blessed you to see it, it doesn't just feel good. It feels great because there's nothing that we had to do with him. So he talks about the elect according to the foreknowledge of God. It was all of what he wanted. It was for what he had chosen. Nothing of what we did. You come down to the next verse. Blessed be the God, the Father of Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Again, when we change and start to go in a different direction And the Lord has worked on us and changed a stony heart to a fleshly heart. And he has changed us. We didn't do it. He said according to his abundant mercy. It was all about what he did. He did it out of mercy on us. He says in John 1 and 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. He goes over to tell Nicodemus, it's like the wind. You don't know where it's going to go. You can hear it, but you can't see. You don't know where. That's how great it is. It's not about what we did. It's all about what the Lord does and what he did. He said, we're sanctified by the Spirit. And according to his abundant mercy, hath he begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Lord blessed us to be able to come in here and say, well, you know what? It's cold outside. There's all these things that are going on in our world that are just, if you listen and just focused on the world, you'd be depressed. You'd be depressed. I don't watch news. So I don't know all the things that go on when they come in at work. They're like, did you hear what happened? No, I didn't. What happened? You know, I don't know what happened because I don't need to, because it's going to be the same thing over and over again. The players might have changed, but the thing that they want you to do, it's going to be the same thing. What we have is we have a hope. We have a hope that no matter what it is, we should be thankful. You know, there's a lot of people mentioned that have sicknesses, that have struggles that are going on. Brother Sam mentioned about the homeless. You know, I think about them in these, when it's cold. I guess up north you used to hear things about it a lot more during winter times when homeless, then they'd be talking about the shelters. Down here it doesn't get as cold as often, and so I don't think you hear it as much. But up there it's always about, you know, if you see someone on the streets, make sure they get shelters. They got to get somewhere because You can go through nights where you're not going to make it out of it. It's that cold. And when you think about that and you think how miserable it is and how bad it is, you say, well, how can you have anything? How can you go through life with that hard of a time and be okay? Because what we know is at the end, what the Lord has already done for us, not what we have done, not what we're going to do, not what we have the opportunity to do, but what the Lord had done for us. He chose us and his son paid the price for us. And you say, on that, I have hope. And he blessed me and he blessed us to have an understanding of it. Not just to sit there and say, well, I don't know. It could be today. I might have it. I might not. The Lord blessed us to have the truth, to know that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. No matter how hard it is, no matter how difficult it might be, nothing can separate us. When he tells them that there's no one that can pluck him out of my hand or my father's hand, no one can pluck him out of the hands. How amazing is that? That means when we go out there, we can face the world, no matter how tough it might be, no matter how hard it might be. You know, this morning, I asked Laura, I had a seizure when I was trying to preach, and I lost where I was. And I couldn't figure out where I was. I didn't sit down. I thank the Lord. It only lasted for a few seconds. But then I didn't know where I was on when I was trying to preach. It doesn't matter. Because no matter how bad it might seem, we have hope. We have hope no matter how tough it might be. You're sitting there and you're like, I'm trying to preach the gospel. And you're not sure where it's at. You know what you can do? You can start over. So that's fine. I have hope. You can go to the end. There's hope. That's how great our God is. No matter what state you're in, no matter how bad it might be, we have hope. And if it relied on one of us to do it, we'd be in trouble. We'd be in trouble. How much faith do you have? Go look what he says down there. Verse 5. He says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Who are kept by the power of God through faith. God's faith. You imagine a faith more powerful than that? God's faith in His Son, that what He's going to do was going to be taken care of, and He was going to do it perfect, and He was going to do it right, and it was all going to be taken care of. God's faith. Now, you talk about faith. There's times that we have faith, and it is like to a level that is beyond what you're like, this is the most faith I ever had. I can go through. I'm ready to go through. Can you imagine our greatest day of faith, how it even compares to when we're saying we're kept through faith, God's faith, how His faith, it doesn't waver. It doesn't buckle. It doesn't bend. It doesn't do anything but stay as strong and as steady as it always has been. That's how great it is. He says you're kept by that faith. You are kept by that faith is what you're kept by. Not your faith, because if we rely on our faith, we're in trouble. Because if there's one of us that we can say, that we couldn't none of us say, oh, I've been faithful my whole life. There's not been a time that I haven't lost faith, that I haven't went down and questioned, I haven't thought and doubted. Because, you know, we don't have to pretend. We can remember what we are. We're sinners. We're sinners and we're weak by nature. And this is a blessing from God that we have. And so when we remember that, we can say, He didn't say, I'm going to keep you through your faith. I'm going to make sure you get through there on your faith, because my faith goes up and down. It's strong, it's weak, it's high, it's low, it's all over the place. He says, but God's faith. When we think about being preserved in Jesus Christ, what does it say in Jude? Where is that? Jude 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Peace and love be multiplied. Again, be multiplied. He said, but you're preserved in what? In Jesus Christ. That's what we're preserved in. Not in our works, not in our actions, not in what we decided to come down and do and ask for a home, not in anything that we did. We're preserved in Jesus Christ through God's faith. That's what it is. How amazing is that? That the Lord, He says here, I want you to make sure that you don't have anything to worry about. I'm putting it all on us. It's on us. It's on me. It's all on us. You're not a part of it that you can mess it up. He says He's going to go down a few more verses. He's going to start telling us to be obedient children. Why? Because of what's been done for us, not so we can get something done to us, but because what's been done for us. He says, be obedient children. A few more verses down, He's going to tell us. He says, as obedient children, not fashion yourselves according to the former lust of your ignorance, but as He which hath been you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. He says, this is what you need to be. We have responsibilities. We have responsibilities that when the Lord blesses us and He calls us and He shows us the truth, that when He says that, you don't hold on to the back bench for all the time, not saying, I'm not ready to join church. When the Lord has taken and blessed us to see it, then we have times that we're supposed to be obedient. Not so we can become the children of God. Not so we can be lumped into the elect of God. Not so our sin debt can be paid. But because all those things are done is why we ought to be obedient children. Why we ought to do the things that we are supposed to do. That's how great our God is. He said, you have a responsibility. But I don't want you to think that your responsibility is on something that you can't take care of. And something that you might not be able to stay strong on. I don't want it to have any impact on what I want. And what I want is you all to be with me in eternal glory in heaven one day. And so what I want, and the only way I know that to be sure, is for Jesus Christ to pay that debt. for the Holy Spirit to change your heart, for Him to work, for them to do their part, and for me to choose who I chose. This has all got to come together. And you all, now that's done, you step back and look at it. Peace comes from that, and it's multiplied. The only thing that is where peace and love is multiplied is when you start to preach the truth. When you have to come down at the end of the sermon, you have to say, well, I don't know if you're saved or not. You better come down and do your part. It doesn't feel multiplied because tomorrow, and not just tomorrow, then when you're walking out the door, who knows what you did? Who knows what you thought? It's not multiplied. Only in the truth do you get to declare it's multiplied. Let it be multiplied. Because if it's not that way, you say, well, some days if it's up to me, it's going to be subtracted. I might be at negative. I might be somewhere, I'm not sure. But the Lord said, peace and love be multiplied. And when you get that is you get it through the truth. You get it that the Lord did it all. And we had nothing to do with it. You say, well, that just seems like a lazy belief, a lazy religion. You say, well, that just doesn't make sense that you have nothing to do. Well, we have everything to do. Because when someone's done as much as the Lord has done for us, you put it in real world perspective, someone does that much for you, you're going to do all that you can for them as often as you can. So you break it down in real world perspective and say, oh, this guy did all this for me. The next time and every time you can, you're going to do all that you can for them. Not just that, you know what you're going to do? You're going to do it for their children. You're going to do it for their spouse. You're going to do it for whoever they're close to. You're going to do all that you can for them because of how much they've done for you. That's how the real world works. Well, you know what? The Lord taught it to us right here in His Word that He said, here, I'm going to take care of it all. Now do your part. I've done all this. Now walk in a way where you love me with all your heart, mind, body, soul, strength, and love one another. That's what He taught it to us. The way that the world goes around, you think it's a worldly thing. It's not a worldly thing. If you lay it down, you look what the Lord taught us. He taught us that. He taught us that on how to work and how to do it. And He said, I just want you to make sure you know what your role is and what my role is. And when you know what the roles are, you brace them, then peace be multiplied. May the Lord bless you, my prayer.